From True Africa, I'm Claude Winitsky, and this is Limitless. In this episode, we're talking making money.
Yeah, well, it's not easy, let me tell you that.
Be humble enough to recognize when your growth is not enough and get to the benchmarks.
When you win a contract of $500,000, you want a contract worth $1 million. The most complicated bit is to actually win that first $1 million.
Welcome to Limitless, the podcast that asks the questions that matter for Africa. We're looking for African solutions to African problems. In each episode, we're asking three guests one question that matters to Africans. And, no surprise, they don't always agree. The Limitless podcast is supported by the U.S. Department of State and the Seen Fire Foundation. Entrepreneurship in Africa is really one of my passions, and I'm constantly impressed by those making their entrepreneurial dreams happen in challenging circumstances. Here, three very different young Africans tell me how they made their first million. You might remember Maya Horgan-Famodu from season one. She's an American-Nigerian venture capitalist, originally from Minnesota in the U.S. I first met Maya about a decade ago when she was in her early 20s and had just arrived in Lagos. She now runs a VC firm called Ingressive Capital. Her latest fund is worth $50 million. She's invested in some of the biggest startups in Africa. Here's our conversation. When we first met, you were bringing Silicon Valley leaders to Lagos and maybe other African cities as well as a way for them to discover, I guess, the possibilities for investment in Africa. Can you tell us about those early trips? I realize it might have been very difficult to put together those trips and get those Silicon Valley leaders to be, you know, to feel comfortable traveling in Africa, but also investing in Africa. What was that like in the beginning?
Yeah, I mean, it looks like an overnight thing. And people are like, oh, it's because she's American. She had such an easy time. But people don't know. I literally spent years convincing the most influential corporations and venture capital funds that I could find across Silicon Valley, literally going door to door. Like, it wasn't like I sent an email and they're like, yeah, I'd love to go to Africa. You know, I would sit in the offices. I'd sit in the sort of waiting rooms of these executive firms until they would sit with me. Sometimes it would take a day. Sometimes I'd have to go back multiple times. Sometimes I would just wait until they left and then strike up a conversation with one of the partners that I was able to recognize. Or sometimes I was able to send a LinkedIn message and then they would take a Zoom and then I'd have to consistently follow up on and with, you know, quarterly calls or monthly calls with them for sometimes years at a time. So it wasn't just an overnight thing. It was a seed. There was a series of seeds that were planted and then nurtured for years.
The way that you did it, you started with the advisory by literally leveraging relationships in order to educate some of these leaders in Silicon Valley, and not just in Silicon Valley, but all over the tech scene in the United States. And then the long game for you was really to launch Ingressive.
You have to remember, when I was 23, I tried launching a $50 million Africa fund. Like, that was probably more than cumulatively all of the venture coming into Africa at its time. And so tried doing that, but didn't, given that I had less than a year of professional experience and given Africa was really not a thing, I didn't get terribly far. So that's why I launched the advisory company. And the pitch for the advisory company was, hey, investors, hey, technology businesses, I will take you to Africa. I will show you the high quality investment opportunities. I'll help you make your first 5 to 10 investments on ground. I will help you establish private sector and public sector relationships. And then over time, you'll see how profitable Africa is and how incredible the market opportunities are here. And over time, you'll see I know what I'm talking about and will invest with me.
But how does one actually get started with a venture capital fund and raise that first million that allows you to actually invest in tech startups in Africa?
Yeah, well, it's not easy, let me tell you that. For me, I knew at the beginning of launching the company, at the beginning of launching Ingressive Advisory, that what I was intending to do was launch a venture capital fund. So everything with Ingressive Advisory was just building the proof case for Africa. and the proof case that Maya knows how to pick great opportunities. So every investment tour that we organized, every partnership or business relationship that we organized, every company for whom we agreed to run their African operations, it was all under the guise of building trust so that we could raise from them and leverage that ambassadorship for Africa over time. When I was 25, then tried again launching the fund. And it was slowly but surely, you know, a few of our first clients from Ingressive Advisory transitioned over to the first investors in the fund.
Moulay Tabouré is the Malian CEO and founder of Anka. It's an online sales platform for African fashion and crafts based in Côte d'Ivoire. The company has raised $6.2 million in its Series A funding. But since we recorded, it was announced that Anka was closing its marketplace. We're not sure if it means the end or marks a change in direction. Whatever happens, Moulay's advice remains valuable. He started off by explaining how Anka raised its initial round of finance.
That is the first thing that really saved us, is having the right people, the right teammates, my co-founder especially, that were amazing individuals with incredible execution abilities that helped us grow fast. And that is the first step that allowed us to do what people always look for, is getting financed and getting investment. But like I like to say, the key lesson for us there is you get financed when you show growth, not the other way around. You cannot hope to get financed to get the growth. And getting financed doesn't show any chance for you to get to the growth. And then, of course, then you grow into different fears when you realize that you have to build a team. You have to find new markets. And we grew in the US and had to try to acquire companies, et cetera, to finally find the right scale. And ultimately, yes, every time you grow, you can attract new partners, new investors. So we are very proud of having venture capital investors from all over Africa, but also from China in the person of the co-founder of Alibaba, but also from Europe with the biggest shareholder of Zalando and ASOS. So that total accumulated in what people look at, that is the over $10 million we raised, but that is the fruit of doing over $3 million of revenue over the last 3 years.
Yeah. So raising $10 million is great, and it's very rare in the African market, specifically for a startup in the creative industries. But I want to really come back to what you said about the team and how important it is to have the right team, because as somebody who's launched many young entrepreneurs programs in Africa, including in my own country, Togo, I noticed that sometimes people say they're going to do something, but they don't actually do it. And that really affects team dynamics. Yeah. So how were you able to identify and motivate the right team?
So I will be honest, I made a lot of mistakes first. That's the key thing. I think one of the things that really helped me is you see a lot of documents in the startup world that shows that you cannot always hire well, but you can fire quick. The second thing is, however, one I think is the best tool to hire well is on your first hires, on the big hires, it's important to do the effort to check the recommendation, to check the referrals, to look if the person that they worked with is not just, oh, okay, yes, it was someone nice to work with. No. If you don't have a resounding and detailed example of the person's ability to execute on what they promised or to deliver better than what was expected, you pass and you keep searching. But the example I can give is even my co-founder, our CTO, I met with almost 80 different developers before recruiting him.
As an entrepreneur in the media industry who became an investor, I noticed the importance of reference checks. And I spent so much time checking references the way you just mentioned. One thing I wanted to ask you is really related to advice. What advice would you give a young entrepreneur who's trying to do what you're doing at the moment?
For me, it's really two things. First, you need to focus on, especially if it's a startup. If it's a SME, it's a different discussion. But as a startup, the key thing for me is really working on your growth. You need to iterate fast enough to get to growth. Your only, valid examination is how much you grow on your key metrics. You cannot just stay, oh, I'm building something nice, so it looks good, shows that I'm a good entrepreneur. Doesn't work. You cannot just mention your efforts. You need to look at the result, how much growth you have, and be humble enough to recognize when your growth is not enough and get to the benchmarks. You can find them online, pretty much. That's the key thing. Generally, 20% per month of growth is sustained is pretty good. And the other thing is for me is to be humble to work with the right people. You need to aim for the best, but also be humble enough to know that people are better than you in a lot of things. And that includes listening to your clients more than you listen to your own ideas, and listening to your team and finding the right team around you. So for me, once you have the growth and the right team, the world is your oyster. Definitely, you can do whatever you want.
Mutanya Keita is a Ghanaian-born inventor and successful businessman. He studied at Harvard University and worked in America. He came back to Guinea to launch his portable ultrasound machine. This medical technology was awarded a prize at the International Exhibition of Inventors in Geneva, Switzerland. Our journalist, Mamadou Mukhtar Soare, interviewed him. Here's their conversation.
Mutanya Keita, do you remember your first little victory?
The first victory is always the first award you win. Even so, I was only the second best inventor in Guinea in 2017. But I can tell you, I jumped up and down in my car, especially when I was given the gold medal in Switzerland.
Then it wasn't so much happiness, it was mostly emotion. You are a bit overwhelmed. It's like, wow, I come from a country that people call poor, but intelligence doesn't belong to any race, nor to any country. Intelligence is universal. We are human beings. When you use your brain well, you can achieve amazing things. Then there were the first contracts. Wow, that was totally brilliant. But then, the more contracts you sign, the more you become numb to it. And then you just expect them. But life is like that. At the beginning, everything is wonderful. But after you get used to it, and if you win a contract worth 100,000, then the next day, you want a contract of 500,000. And then you win a contract of 500,000, you think, oh, David, you want a contract worth $1 million. Then, and when you get into the $1 million club, which we have already done, well, the most complicated bit is to actually win that first $1 million. But once it's done, everything else becomes much easier.
So tell us, your first $1 million, when'd you get it? How'd you feel?
I didn't feel any joy. You only say to yourself, thank God I can pay back all my debts that I have ranked up since the beginning of all the research and the development. I can pay back my family. I can do this and that. You feel relief, but not joy. It's paradoxical. One of the worst things that can happen to the human being is either that none of their dream comes true or all of them comes true. I have understood that those two extremes are the worst thing that can happen. Because you've sat down and thought to yourself, all that I want today, I can have it. So it's no longer a challenge. Life is beautiful when there are challenges. But as soon as you enter into the millionaire's club, you should make other people millionaires. Because you are in that club. You have to educate people so that they have the brain of a millionaire. In fact, that's how I treat my children too. They are learning how to do 3D drawing at the age of 6 and 7. You mustn't wait till they are 15 or 20 years old. So for me, success, real joy, it's when you can spread and share this success. That's really the best.
I love Muntaga's honesty. He's right. Sometimes when you finally achieve success, it does not feel like you thought it would feel. Thank you to all our guests and good luck to them. This was my takeaway. Stay persistent, focus on growth, and share your success when it comes. If you're launching a startup, we'd love to hear from you using the hashtag LimitlessAfrica on social media.
You've been listening to Limitless. I'm Claude Grinitsky. The Limitless podcast is a production of True Africa. This podcast is made possible with a grant from the U.S. Department of State and the Scene Fire Foundation.